The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. As the seventh trumpet sounds, he will call his chosen warriors forth.
Greetings, friend, and welcome to Trumpets of Truth International. Today's lecture is entitled The Unseen Kingdom, and it's by Apostle Jacqueline Fedor. In these end times, people are looking for answers on how to survive. As the systems of man crumble and the religions that support this world fail, people begin to wonder, how are they to make it physically, spiritually, emotionally, or even financially? They ask, where is the true church with its prophets and the apostles that are supposed to guide God's people to safety? They want to know where protection is to be found for their families. The truth is, all we will ever need is supplied from a kingdom we can't see with physical eyes. This leads to confusion. For instance, to answer the question, where is it safe and protected, some will tell you the church will simply rapture to heaven, or you will not be here during God's wrath. Others will claim a physical place as a kind of Goshen. There is a group that claims a town in Washington is Goshen, and so the next question is, where really is Goshen, and how do we get there? Number one, let's set the record straight. Goshen is not literally a physical place we can run to any more than the Valley of Decision is a real valley, or the mountains of God a natural mountain. In fact, the whole kingdom of God is not a tangible place on the map that you can see. Like God's house, these are all places you go to in your mind and in your heart. In fact, the house of God is made from living stones, God's people. If you don't know this, how can you be this? Do you think maybe the personal house of God may be safe from his wrath? It's where I want to be. 1 Peter 2:5 says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Let us look to the scriptures describing God's kingdom for our understanding. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, it says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within us. Our actions show the fruit of the tree of life that is within God's kingdom, and what we do is the outer manifestations of the kingdom to the world. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, the kingdom offers more beneficial things than the superficial entertainment people of the world enjoy. Matthew 19:14, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. It is not the wise or highly educated people, for the most part, that make up the kingdom population, but the childlike that just accept the word in faith. Exodus 19:6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. God's kingdom is guided by his priesthood, and his people are a holy nation. As the world returns to this arrangement, it will be a much better place to live in, as it is God's arrangement. John 3:3, and Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, none of this will make sense until we are new creatures, because Adam's race cannot enter or even see the kingdom. So then, who are the residents of this kingdom? With all so-called Christians, will they be a part of the kingdom? Sadly, we can miss this kingdom altogether if our actions and motives are not correct, or if we make a wrong turn off the highway of holiness. Here are some of the reasons that we can get lost. Galatians 5:21, envy, do you envy others? Murders, do you hate your brother or sister in Christ? Drunkenness, revelries, meaning are you boisterous, crude, into loud festivities? And the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let us look in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Remember, the kingdom of God is peace and joy in the Spirit of God. It is not the Spirit of God that causes people to walk in the above. Of course, there are always going to be those that do not understand the purity of God's kingdom or the fact that only the righteous will be able to go there. They are modern-day Pharisees that think God is such a God of love that he will turn his head from sin. They try to shape God to their human intellect rather than allowing him to expose them to his truth and holiness. He will not even attempt to change this kind. Matthew 13, 10 and 11 says, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? See, he was talking to the Pharisees. And Jesus answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. You see, they are religious old wineskins that will never understand because they have chosen not to move forward with God. You have to be different from the old church and the world that has shaped it to enter the unseen kingdom. Now, a spiritual look at God's unseen mountain and his house. Isaiah 2:1-4 says, then the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain, which is Mount Zion, of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Verse 3, many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion, which is the government of God, shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, which is the city New Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nations, neither shall they learn war any more. Mount Zion is symbolic of God's government, or the head portion of his body, while New Jerusalem is symbolic of the body itself. He lives in his body, so the whole body is his house. This house is made of living stones. 1 Peter 2:5 once again says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, which is your praise, that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. We as God's people are also his land and his building. 1 Corinthians 3:9 tells us, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So we make up his land, his building, his household, or his family and house. As our hearts are knitted together in one language, truth, and one vision or purpose, his kingdom is well on its way in the process of being established. Zephaniah 3:9, for then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him with one accord. No false doctrine or lies will be tolerated by his true family. They will see eye to eye as Isaiah prophesied. Isaiah 52:8. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices, with their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. As God's kingdom is being restored, the music, the arts, the schools, in fact the whole culture will be the fruit of that kingdom being set in place by those of his body who are part of his plan to renew the world and its people. This kingdom of God will be the blessed and will rise above all other kingdoms as a new earth is formed. All of the earth will be ruled by God through his kingdom. Daniel prophesied about this age. Daniel 2:24 says, And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Again, this kingdom cannot be seen with carnal eyes, but the fruit of the residents that live there will manifest physically as the good that will overcome evil. So why is it important to understand all this? Since truth will be sought after rather than the false doctrine and lies that are preached by so much of the church, true worship of the one God, Yahweh, will become the established religion. Surely we want to be part of this. And as it is actually God that gives the power to get wealth, and it is he that owns the silver and gold, it will also be his kingdom that will hold the prosperity. Total peace will be found only within his government and his kingdom, for it is made of hearts that are ruled and guided by the Spirit of God. If we look at the peace that God gives, we will find it is too beyond our understanding. Let us look at the meaning of peace in the Strong's. It is number 7965 in the Hebrew. And the word is shalom, which from 7999 means safe, well, happy, friendly. Also means abstractly welfare, that is health, prosperity, and peace. 7999 says to be safe in mind, body, or estate, to be completed, to be friendly, to reciprocate. We should all desire to be a part of God's kingdom where this peace can be found. Sadly, we have lived so long under the rule of Satan through his governments, his hypocrisy through his churches, and financial bondage through his economy, that the promises of God seem further and further away. But people of the Lord, hear me. Success is as close as our hearts are from one another. Remember, the kingdom is inside us. It is as real as the amount of truth that is planted in our hearts and minds. In other words, our hearts must be one, our minds must think as one, we must be in one accord. What is being in one accord? Well, let us look at the word in the Strong's Concordance to better understand. 63110 from 6284 means speech, specifically edge, portion, or side. 4861 means co-spirited, similar in sentiment, like-minded. 4862, denoting union by association, companionship. In the King James Version, it means in composition, it has similar applications, including completeness. 4853 means co-tribesman, native of the same country, and that's talking about born-again Israel. 4858, unison of sound or a symphony, a concert of instruments, meaning a harmonious note. When we unite in praise, we are in one accord. We enter the unseen kingdom courts with the high praises of God's people. 4864 says, an assemblage of persons, and this specifically refers to the Jewish synagogue, which is the meeting or the place, and by analogy, the church. The anointing on those united. The truth that is being poured through God's end time revealers has an anointing on it to totally change people and their conditions that they will receive it. This anointing oil is preparing the bride of Christ to be made queen over God's kingdom. The now ruling queen, the harlot, Mystery Babylon, that encompasses all the religions of the world, will shortly fall before God's queen. The beast that Babylon rides on, which is man's systems, will crumble also before the government of God. Revelation 17, 3-5 says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now remember, the number 7 denotes perfection, the number 10, completion. So this means she has had perfect rule and complete power and authority all these years. In verse 4 it says, "The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." But we see who the victors are. Revelation 17:14. "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." Finally, Satan, through his evilly enlightened and rancidly anointed ones, will be made to bow to Christ, that in his enlightened and pure anointed ones. These children of the light, which is truth, filled with the holy anointing oil, will shine the way to eternity for the nations to follow. Remember, however, all this will only be seen and understood by those that are led by the Spirit of God, those he molds and shapes, those that are citizens of the unseen kingdom. Now let's talk about the Virgin Queen. As our heart and mind become filled with truth and we adjust our life and beliefs accordingly, we will become a virgin in that we will not have anything of Satan in us. His lifestyle and culture will be abandoned for a life of purity and holiness with the King of Kings. The holy anointing oil that is on the truth poured from the seals will prepare us to become a part of the warrior queen that will soon be handed the scepter and given rule over the kingdom of God. We are the heirs of Christ. Galatians 3:29 says, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Satan is still opposing God, however. His evil ones think they as people are in control of the world, its religion, and economy. They do not realize what force is operating through them. The god of force is Satan. He is the god of this present physically seen world, the god of intellect, and the god of their minds. This god, through his false religions that perpetuated the lies in circulation today, blinds spiritual eyes and opens the physical eyes even further to wickedness and sin. His subjects cannot see with the eye of discernment, and the kingdom is veiled from them. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4 says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them." But there is a far greater power that lives within the prepared virgin queen. Christ lives in her, and greater is he than what's in the world. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27 says, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." We are to be his temple and his land, which is Hephzibah, and it's a delightsome land. We are to be Beulah, which is the married. These are a few of God's pet names for his virgin queen, his bride. She is Goshen, New Jerusalem, Zion. In her is safety, security, total shalom or peace. She is his Shulamite that sits at his right hand. No safer place is there. If you look at the right hand through the Strong's Concordance, you'll see what it means. From number 3225, translates as stronger and more dexterous. For the record, God does not say anywhere in Scripture to enter into a physical Goshen for our safety, to protect from his wrath today. In the first Exodus, God did instruct his people to enter into a physical place, but that was all symbolic of something spiritual that would be required of God's people in the last Exodus. First things happen in the natural, so we can understand the spiritual. Exodus 12, 22 and 23, "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. They were to stay in their house until the death angel passed." Now let us look as God prophesies through Isaiah of the next coming Passover that we as God's people will experience. Isaiah 26, 20-21 says, "Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain." This prophecy is a help to make us to understand God's end time instructions better. Let me explain. Did you know that the word rib, which is 6763 in the Hebrew section of the Strong's Concordance, also means a side and a chamber? Well, let's look at this word. It means a door, a leaf, a side. King James Version, it means a beam, a board, a chamber, a corner, a leaf, a plank, a rib, a side, meaning chamber. As Eve was birthed from the side, the chamber or the rib of Adam, who was made in the image of God, so God birthed his bride from his side or rib or chamber at the cross. John 19:34, "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." Now remember, rib meant side and chamber, so the rib is what Eve and the Shulamite are made from. So they are chambers. In the chambers of Eve, who had eaten from the tree of good and evil, there is no safety. There is only death. She is Adam's chamber. But in the born-again bride of Christ, who eats truth from the tree of life, there is a city of refuge. Revelations 21:1-5 says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Now let us look at the word chamber in the Strong's. Again in the Hebrew, it's number 2315, which is from 2314, meaning an apartment. Or in the King James Version, it means an inner chamber, innermost part, or within. So in closing, we do not run to physical cities for safety, nor to physical homes. We run to the body of Christ and his bride and enter the chambers. There the angels of vengeance in the final hour will find us in one accord, probably praising, seeing eye to eye, wearing robes of separation, distinguishing us from the world, with our hearts filled with the light of truth and married to him. Hosea says it this way, in Hosea 2:19-20, "I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord." And the Apostle John says it this way in Revelations 19:7-9. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. At last they are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. They are one with him. These have found safety. He is their chamber and they are his. They are the fulfillment of the prayer of Jesus right before the cross as seen in John 17:21. Says that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So in closing, when you see scriptures pertaining to the unseen kingdom of God, look at them through the eye of discernment. The kingdom becomes real if you will investigate them through the mind of Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to direct you. He will point the way to the King's highway, which is the highway of holiness. You won't be disappointed if you obediently go there, for at the end of the road, you will see the everlasting kingdom of God.
The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. As the seventh trumpet sounds, he will call his chosen warriors forth. The earth will quake as the Lamb to his anointed breaks the seal. Systems will crumble as the truth through the new song is revealed.
Okay, friend, that wraps up this lecture on the unseen kingdom. I hope you've enjoyed it. And if you'd like to know more about us, please visit our website at www.trumpetsoftruth.com. And may you be blessed in all that you do in Jesus' name.